And I want to just ask you very quickly, the news about booster shots, it's almost as if those of us who are not scientists or not doctors get inundated with too much information, so we don't know how to value what we're being told. Can you boil this down to what we absolutely need to know? Should we get a booster or not?
Well, first of all, thank you very much, Adam, for the invitation to come on your show and give this interview. So I think it really goes back to the evidence. And Anjali, you know, cited several references. So what do we know right now? So first of all, we know that the vaccines, and these are several vaccines, including those not licensed here in the United States, give continued or extended protection against the severe outcomes of COVID, and those are hospitalizations and deaths. We are seeing data from Israel, from UK, and here in the United States of decreased effectiveness of the vaccine to protect us against getting ill from COVID, a mild illness from COVID, or an infection. So bottom line, I think, you know, we have to ask ourselves, what do we want to achieve, not only with vaccinations, but with booster shots? And, you know, there's a compelling argument made, and arguments made by colleagues who wrote that article that was published in The Lancet yesterday, that we could do a much better job, you know, for the world if we're immunizing people with primary vaccination, getting the first doses in them and saving their lives, than giving boosters.
Doctor, what about where we are here in the U.S.? Because we have infections down about 10% from the recent peak. So as we talk about what needs to be done in order to keep progressing in that same direction, I guess, what's going to make the biggest difference over the next several months?
Yeah, so the key lever to pull on all of this is vaccinations. And we can just see this within the United States. I live, you know, in Connecticut, where vaccination rates are, you know, approaching 80%. People are fully vaccinated, and we're having cases, but we're having very few deaths and hospitalizations. You compare that with other states. Mississippi is a good example. In Mississippi, where vaccination rates are less than, you know, 50% of people fully vaccinated, you know, they're having 50 deaths, you know, a day, compared to here in Connecticut, which has a larger population of 3 to 5 deaths a day due to COVID. So the key change in, you know, key game changer and all of this is getting people vaccinated.
When we talk about getting people vaccinated, there are children who cannot get vaccinated. And then many of us get very frightened by headlines that say, for instance, COVID-19 deaths are surging among younger unvaccinated people. Can you put that into perspective for us?
Yeah, and I think, Adam, that's an important question, because it also goes to the key objective and goal for us this year is to keep our schools open, so kids don't have to suffer as they did in the past year, you know, during the pandemic, being out of school and out of in-person teaching. So the key driver in protecting our children from COVID and keeping our schools open is going to be vaccinating adults and keeping community transmission of COVID low. And so right now we're on the top of the curve. I think there's promising data that, you know, our evidence or trends right now that we're not suffering the exponential growth that we experienced several weeks ago in COVID rates because of the Delta surge. But now the key issue is, how do we make sure that those rates go down quickly and keep down? And again, the bottom line there is vaccination. We've seen it work in states. We've seen it work in countries where high rates of vaccination have been able to not only save lives, but you know, allow businesses and schools to keep open.
Doctor, you mentioned the school year. New York City, where we're based right now, the school year starts today. Thousands of students heading back to school right here in the city. I guess from your perspective, from the largest public schools, from the plans that they have put forward, do they have what's necessary? Do they have the steps in place in order, do you think, to have a successful school year?
Yeah, so I think, you know, my own personal opinion is mixed on that. You know, so certainly school systems that are in states that have high vaccination rates, New York being one, are going to benefit, because the pressure, the introductions of COVID in these schools and the risk of outbreaks are lower. Certainly, I think New York also, you know, benefits from having a face mask mandate in school. We know face masks work. So that's the second part. I think where we probably are slow, you know, to take advantage is really the advances that we know in testing and how we can do implement testing, not only to identify quickly introductions and cases and clusters and outbreaks in schools and stop them, but also testing so we can keep kids in school, you know, kids who test negative, so they're not missing in-person teaching. I think that's the part where, you know, many parts of the country, and perhaps including New York, are a little bit slow in implementing for the school year.